I want to begin with an English lesson tonight. What is a metaphor? What is a metaphor? And yes, Mr. G, it's a place where cows graze. That's what Mr. G would tell his English classes from time to time. It's a place where cows graze. A meadow. What's a meadow for? Okay. It went over pretty well with some of them, Mr. G. By definition, a metaphor is a figure of speech in which a word or phrase literally denoting one kind of object or idea is used in place of another to suggest a likeness or analogy. That's Webster's definition. He gives this example, drowning in money. Drowning used in that metaphorical sense. Second question, what is an allegory? I don't have a joke for this one. What is an allegory? But I ask this question because we're about to study one. What is an allegory? Some refer to an allegory as a prolonged metaphor. But here are some definitions. Webster's again. An allegory is a story in which the characters and events are symbols that stand for ideas about human life or for a political or historical situation. An allegory can be a true story. In fact, we're going to look at a true story tonight, which the Apostle Paul uses as an allegory to teach some spiritual truths. An allegory, in this sense, takes a historical event and presents a parallel truth. Paul uses an allegory in Galatians chapter 4. And I invite you to open your Bibles there with me to Galatians chapter 4, or your electronic device, as the case may be. He uses an allegory. And I'm not going to go into a reason, perhaps, why he used it. I want to go ahead and get into the text. Because, by the way, after services tonight, trunk or treat for the kids. Trunk or treat for the kids. And those of you who have been a part of it know the routine. But just to park on that end of the parking lot, the far end, and we'll gather the children and bring them out when everyone is ready. I meant to do that at the beginning of this lesson. So that was a pause. Now, look at the allegory. Let's go, first of all, to the history behind the allegory. So we're going to go back and consider the actual historical account from which Paul uses an allegory. Galatians 4:21, he writes, "Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman, Hagar, and the other by the free woman, Sarah. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a promise." Please hold your place there. I want to go back to Genesis. Genesis chapters 15 through 17. And just read a few selected texts, just to give you the historical background concerning which Paul is going to make an allegory. Genesis chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.' But Abram said, 'Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?'" You see, God had already promised him that he and Sarah would have a son, that in him all the families of the earth shall be blessed. But it hinged upon them having a son, and some time has passed now, and they haven't had a child as of yet. And remember, Abram was 75 years old when that promise was initially given. So God reminds him that he is Abram's shield and great reward, but Abram's still wondering, "But what about your promise? We're still childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer. It's a servant in the house, Eliezer of Damascus." Verse 3, then Abram said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one, Eliezer, shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven, count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he, God, accounted it to him for righteousness. Let's go to chapter 16. Some more time has passed, probably around 10 years since that initial promise has been given. And here are Abram and Sarai still waiting for a child to be born to them. 10 years have passed. The biological clock is ticking, and they're becoming anxious now, more and more anxious. Where is this child that God has promised us? So Sarai comes up with a plan. You'll remember this, but it's part of what Paul is going to use as an allegory. Chapter 16, in verses 1 through 3. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And this reflects a common custom in that day and time. A wife not being able to bear children might take her servant, her handmaid, and give her to her husband. But the child born to that union would be considered the wife's child. Sarah says, here's my handmaid. Her name is Hagar. And conceive a child with her. But that would be recognized, according to this custom, as Sarai's child. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, verse 3, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. And they conceived and bore a child, and his name was Ishmael. Ishmael. Ishmael was born, Paul's going to say, in an ordinary way, as a man and woman would conceive a child. But God reminds Abraham that the promise would be fulfilled through a son, not through Hagar, not through Ishmael, but through a son that would be born to Abraham and Sarah. Let's go to chapter 17 for a moment. Chapter 17, verse 15. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Way past the age of childbearing. In fact, Paul will write in Romans 4, chapter 19, or chapter 4, verse 19, that Sarah's womb, if you will, is dead. She's way past the age of childbearing. But God is saying, you are going to have a son. Verse 18, Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. In other words, here is my son from Hagar. Oh, that he might be the fulfillment of your promises. Verse 19, God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, meaning laughter. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. That's the history behind the allegory. Now, the Jews placed a lot of importance upon being physical descendants of Abraham. In fact, Jews believed that because they were physical descendants of Abraham, that those blessings that God promised to Abraham and to his seed were theirs and theirs alone. We can trace back our lineage to Abraham, so we get all those blessings that God promised to Abraham. And by the way, the Gentiles, if they want to enjoy those blessings, they got to keep the law of Moses along with us. And so there was the conflict in the church at Galatia. But notice the difference between these two mothers. And Mike, I'm going to skip through part of this. Hagar was a slave woman. So a son born to her would be born into slavery, if you will. That's how Paul is going to describe it. Sarah, on the other hand, was a free woman. She was the wife of Abraham. Her offspring would be born in the same free status. And there was a difference in the births of these sons. Ishmael was born according to the flesh, in the ordinary way, the natural way. Isaac was born through the promise, Paul will say, by means of divine intervention. In other words, it was a miracle that Abraham and Sarah were able to have a child. It took God's intervention. God enabled it to happen. Isaac's birth required God's special attention. So there's the historical account. Now, based upon that historical account, Paul gives an allegory. In other words, he takes the characters in this historical account and allows them to represent certain things in order to teach spiritual truths. That's an allegory. Notice with me Galatians 4, beginning with verse 24. These things may be taken figuratively for the women represent two covenants, Hagar and Sarah. And I'm entitled this lesson, Hagar and Sarah, what do they have to do with me? Well, observe the truths that Paul teaches using this historical account, what he compares Hagar and Sarah to. In fact, the New American Standard Version states it, verse 24, the first part this way. This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants. And the two covenants are the old covenant that Israel had with God under the law of Moses, and the new covenant under Christ. And he's going to show here how these two women and their sons can teach us spiritual truths in this allegory. Notice with me verse 24, the second part. One covenant is from Mount Sinai. What happened on Mount Sinai? Moses received the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Hagar represents this covenant, this old covenant made with Israel and the law of Moses regulated that. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. Just as a child born to a slave woman would also be a slave, that's what Paul is using this analogy for. And Hagar represents that old covenant. And being born into that, under that old covenant, makes you a slave. And is speaking to how the old covenant condemned sinners and held them in bondage. The old covenant would identify sin and make it exceedingly sinful. It was designed, as we've discussed before in our study of Galatians, to point them and direct them and lead them to Christ. But as a system, it, just as law does, it convicted them and held them in bondage. Hagar, that slave woman who gave birth to a son, who a baby born to a slave woman would also be a slave, that represents people living under that old covenant. And you remember the Judaizers, these false teachers, were saying to these new Christians, you got to keep that old covenant. And Paul is saying, Hagar, you're represented, if you do that, you're represented by Hagar and her child that was born in bondage. That's one. But now notice verse 26, he talks about Sarah. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, this is a quotation from Isaiah 54, be glad, O barren woman, who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud. You have no labor pains. You who have no labor pains. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. This was spoken about by Isaiah the prophet. It was written during the time when Judah was in Babylonian captivity. And he's likening Judah being in Babylonian captivity as to a mother who is unable to bear children. And what Isaiah is telling the people, the Jews, in that day and in his day and time, is that there's good news. You're going to have a bunch of children. And the meaning was that they would return from captivity. They would come back to their homeland. They would live and God would bless them and they would prosper and they would be able to bear children again. And Paul is using this to describe children of Sarah. He's talked about Hagar, and that represents those who live under that old covenant. But now he's talking about Sarah, who would give birth to Isaac, the son of promise. And those who were of Abraham's seed represent those under the new covenant that would receive the blessings of God. That Sarah would bear many children. And I believe what he's speaking to is how many would become Christians. Many would become of the seed of Abraham when they would obey Christ. And that's the allegory. Sarah, a free woman, bears children into freedom. She corresponds to the new covenant that frees sinners from their bondage. So in summary, here's a chart that shows the difference. The components of the allegory. Hagar, the bondwoman, corresponds to the old covenant bearing slave children like Ishmael. Earthly Jerusalem in bondage and not sharing in the inheritance. Whereas Sarah, the free woman, corresponds to the new covenant, bearing free children, not slaves, but free children. Speaking of heavenly Jerusalem, which I believe is a reference in this passage to the church, that share in the inheritance. And that reminds us of these passages, that these statements that Paul makes about how we as Christians are children of God and heirs according to the promise. And so he makes application number three. The application to Christians and to those under the law. Galatians 4:28. Now you, brothers, he's speaking to these Christians in Galatia. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. You haven't been born into slavery, in other words. You've been born free. Galatians 3:29, he had said, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Verse 29, at that time, the son born in the ordinary way, referring to Ishmael, persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit, referring to Isaac. It is the same now. That may be a reference to Genesis 21 verse 9 that says that Sarah saw the son whom Hagar, the Egyptian, had born to Abraham was mocking. And the event was that Isaac had been weaned, and here's his older half-brother, Ishmael, mocking at this event. And she's offended by that. In fact, wants to send Hagar and Ishmael away. And that's the reference in verse 30. What does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. That has reference to what indeed happened. Sarah demanded to Abraham that Ishmael and Hagar be sent away. And though that distressed him greatly, God told Abraham, do not be distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to what Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. But Paul is still using this allegory. And basically, he's telling these Galatian Christians, you don't want to be identified with Hagar. That puts you under the bondage, back into bondage. You want to be identified with Sarah and Isaac because you're free in Christ, free from the bondage of sin. And that's how he closes Galatians 4:31. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. So there's some history from which Paul gives an allegory to speak to teach spiritual truths. Hagar, Sarah, what does that have to do with me? I want to conclude with this point. What does that have to do with me? We don't want to be slaves. We don't want to be in bondage to sin. And thanks be to God that through Jesus we can be set free from sin. We can be children of Sarah in the sense that we have the faith of Abraham, and we realize that all those promises are fulfilled through Christ. And through Christ we can enjoy the blessings that were promised to Abraham, that through his seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That blessing is salvation, and it's found in Jesus. One last point. Without God's intervention, Abraham and Sarah would not have been able to have a child. They had to wait 25 years for Isaac to be born. They had to wait upon God. And this was a miracle from God. God intervened. He made it possible. And notice this truth from that. That without God's intervention into history, you and I would have been left as slaves like Hagar. Bound in our sin, unable to free ourselves. But God intervened. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, so that we might be freed from the bondage of sin. So when you study about allegory, you study about this history behind it, see the application. We enjoy the blessings through Abraham and Isaac, in view of this promise, that those promises would be fulfilled in Christ. And that's so important that God intervened and gave us Christ so that you and I could be freed from sin. Galatians 4, verse 7. So you are no longer a slave, Paul writes to these Christians and reminds us. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Are you a child of God tonight? Jesus has made that possible. If you're ready to obey the gospel, to be born again into God's family, having your sins washed away, we hope and pray you'll do that tonight. If you need the prayers of the church, if we can help you in any way, please let that be known as together we stand and sing.